family. You're listening to Gay After 30, your weekly queer podcast for all things gay and grown. I'm your host, Key, aka your favorite gay auntie, and I'm excited you stopped by. At Gay After 30, we discuss all things that matter to gay grown-ups, from finance, to wellness, to relationships, and everything in between. Come join the family, and because this podcast is all about you, send us your questions and discussion suggestions at gayafter30@gmail.com. This podcast is available on all major streaming platforms. Don't forget to rate and subscribe. I look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome to Gay After 30. It's your favorite gay auntie, Key. Here with my two homegirls, Ashley, and y'all already know Tracy. I'm super excited about the conversation we're going to have today. And I know y'all, I've been missing in action for a while, but I'm back. How you been?
Very good.
How you been?
Okay.
Can y'all give y'all a name? I did say your names are Ashley. Give your names and pronouns.
Hey, Ashley, she and her.
Tracy, she and her.
He, she and her. So we're gonna jump right into segment number one. And segment number one is what I like to call grateful game. Because we all grateful, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to go ahead. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
I was going to follow in that ministry.
You know? So what is one thing that you are grateful for today?
My nieces. My baby nieces.
Aw, that's such an ugly thing.
I love them so much. I am grateful for nature. I'm grateful for sun. I'm grateful for water. I'm grateful for land and earth and greenery. It's something about just being out on a good day that just enhances my spirit. And I've been really being able to get outside more now that the weather is better. And it has made a difference. I have seen why seasonal depression is a real thing.
Amen.
Which are cut out from the beauty of creation. It is, yeah.
Shout out to all my Aries brothers, sisters, and folks. You know, I'm sure y'all had a particularly difficult time being cooped up in the house, as we all have had.
A quarantine birthdays ain't that great. Thank God. You can make it your own. You can make it your own. Let me stop.
So for me, I'm going to say that I am grateful for vaccination and scientists. Shout out to kids.
And shout out to believing in science.
Hello.
You're so goddamn true. And shout out to the president that believes in science.
How about that? How about that? Wow.
Whew. And shout out to actually making your vote count this time.
And I was saying I wanted to say, like, that I'm grateful for vaccination and science just because, like, just sitting here.
Yeah.
Y'all haven't been able to do this in a year.
Yeah.
How long? So that is what I'm grateful for, that we have vaccinations, we have Black women scientists who's helping us with the vaccinations so that me and my fine friends can sit together and have a good time. Or maybe
like R&B, but it got some like, you know, eclectic, you know, vibes in there, and I love it. And you know, I'm a little heartbreak princess, you know, like, no emotional.
Okay.
Oh,
wow.
Just maybe just listening to the music and letting it just consume me. So that's what I'm grateful for. Like, it's the one thing that you can enjoy without, you know, screen fatigue. And that's been a real game changer for me during this pandemic. That has given me joy.
Definitely that too, but I would say phone catch-ups, not video, not Zoom with your friends, but just phone catch-ups. There's some people that I haven't been able to see still and probably still won't get to see for a little bit. And sometimes when I'm driving on my way to Target or wherever else I'm going, I'm like, you know, I got 20 minutes, let me get on the phone with XYZ friend that I haven't talked to in a minute. And just the phone catch-up, it's like low pressure. You don't have to see each other, but you just get to check in. How are you? How's your family? How have you been? And that has been bringing me joy.
I think I'm gonna turn it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Cause I was thinking about what I wanted to say, and I was gonna front for y'all, but since y'all family, I'm not even gonna cap. What's bringing me the most joy is me having sex again.
Uh-oh.
Amen. Amen.
She said she was gonna bring this.
Something about that
serotonin.
You know,
it's actually good for your health.
It's actually good for your health. Science.
We believe in science. That's all we're saying.
That's all we're saying. You know, I was just like, I was in a drought for a second.
Oh, thought it was a drought.
I was in a drought for a second, and then, you know, you try to convince yourself afterwards, you know, you go through break or whatever it is. You're like, I'm going to take time for me. Like, I'm going to be abstinent for a while. And even I, you know, call my homegirls, like, you know.
You know, in life, we have been doing many things at one time. You know, as Black women, we are the masters of juggling.
Okay.
So, I mean, why not?
So, that is what's been bringing me.
I like that.
The absolute most joy. Shout out to you. You know who you are. So let's talk about Black women as multidimensional, because I was even like thinking about like whether I even wanted to say that, right? Because we got jobs, and so many people may have so many different adjectives for
it. Yeah.
Right, but most of them have to do with like what we were talking about last time, like this upstanding, you know, kind of conservative, whatever. And so I was like, do I want to talk about sex? And I was like, hell yeah, I want to talk about sex because I'm grown and I have sex. Okay, but in that, I wanted to talk about Black women as multidimensional.
Yeah.
And do we actually get to be multidimensional in the public? So that's my question, is like, first, you know, because I don't want to assume that y'all have the same answers that I do. Do you think Black women and femmes get to show their different sides without repercussion? If not, why?
I don't think so. And I can just talk about my experience as a, you know, working professional Black woman, as a, you know, in the legal profession. I think that there is this this assumption that you're supposed to just be really kind of, you know, buttoned up, really kind of, you know, strict and rigid, and you know, you wear black and you wear your suits, and there's no room for color, there's no room to be vibrant. I think that so as women, if you want to be sexy, if you want to be fun, if you want to just show any extra layer of dynamic, if you just want to be a full multifaceted person, that there's not much room for that. And I know how, like, I've experienced, you know, having this negative self-talk when I'm engaging on Instagram, like, oh, you know, about how I want to express my body positivity, how I want to, you know, show off and not look thirsty or not look, you know, a certain way, because you have to be respectable. Like, professional women, you know, they're unconcerned with, you know, their bodies and their beauty, you know, that's too vain. And I don't like that, because you can be brilliant and beautiful, you know. Multiple things can exist at one time, and they won't cancel each other out. And I think that that's real, and I have struggled with that. I ultimately decided I was going to do what I want.
Okay.
But
I do what I want.
That's real. That's real. But the reason why those fears and that self-talk is there is because people will question your professionalism. People will question, you know, just, you know, who you are as a person, because you're not fitting into their boxes. But, you know, I don't want to be in that box.
Right.
It's not a well-formed box.
Ooh, there's so many boxes. For me, I think there's the professional box as, like, a Black woman who's an attorney and who's professional. There's the religious boxes. There's and then, like, the desirability boxes. Like, if I do this, will I not be attractive anymore? Yeah. Like, all of that. And trying to hold all of that and trying to be mindful of what image I'm... Like, just as you were talking about, like, was Brandi Joyce having some good sex? Mm-hmm. I was thinking about, like, what if this podcast is still around in 10 years? And let's say for some random, ridiculous reason, I'm, like, up for some important, prominent position. Mm-hmm. Will they be able to say that Ashley's talking about sex on a podcast? And now I'm like, yeah, I was. I was talking about sex.
Ashley wasn't talking about sex. Key was talking about sex.
But what I'm saying, the fact that crossed my mind, yeah. One, I think the legal profession definitely indoctrinates you into this, like, character and fitness thing. And the character and fitness whole framing is rooted in a lot of white supremacy. Mm-hmm. But even that aside, like, as me, as a Black Christian woman, I think I was taught that enjoying and having fun and, like, with sex or relationships, that's also taboo, regardless of the context. And I know that there is, like, a particular belief system around when sex is appropriate, when it's not. But even still, just, like, the conversation in and of itself, you're taught, don't get excited about it. Don't be, like, whatever. And, like, what if I'm a whole human being? I love the Lord, and I love my job, or, you know, want to be taken seriously in my skill set. And I also have fun. And I also like to shake my butt. And I also like... You know, good sex sometimes too.
Exactly.
Yes. But in its proper place, right? Like, not at the office.
I'm totally get what you're saying.
Even, like, something as simple as, I saw you doing TikToks, and I was so happy. I was just kind of like, but at first it was so shocking to me that you were doing TikToks and, like, the dance or whatever. And I was like, I had to catch myself, like, why is that shocking? Why is that, like, a shocking thing? Like, she should be able to do TikToks, and it's not necessarily a thing. And then after that, you know, socialization, which is what it was, like, I was like, I'm so happy that she's at least free enough to do that.
I was scared to put them up there. They're, like, first I was posting them as private videos, but, like, again, we're in a pandemic. I'm usually someone who gets to go out and go dance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get to go out and dance with my friends, engage with my friends. I can't do that. The only way I can dance and engage with other people has been through TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel this sense of community. Everybody's hopping on this new dance challenge.
Right.
And dancing is, for me, a form of exercise, a form of self-care, just keeping my body moving because I haven't left the house in a week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that for me was a huge thing. And I wanted to share it with my friends and, like, the people that I care about. But I do remember it, like, thinking, like, oh, well, people think that this is silly, that this is something that's just big for the teenagers. Am I too old for this? Am I too, you know, is this not professional? And I did question that. And I think is that something that both of you have, I felt like, hinted to is this idea of, like, modesty.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, modesty could be, I feel like, a trap for Black women to kind of dull your life.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, you have to be modest and you have to be humble. You can't just shine.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, 2020 was a rough enough year. I'm going to shine when I get
here. Amen!
Okay.
In the person.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
This little light of mine.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's on who?
In a minute.
Okay. All right. Like, connected to that, it was something as simple as, like, taking, you know, took pictures when we went to the river or whatever, and so both y'all were cute. But in that, I'm around my friends, I'm a very silly person.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I would like to think that I'm, like, fun or playful or whatever, and, like, quirky. That's probably not what most people in the public sphere, those are not adjectives that they would use for. That we use for me, adjectives like serious and intense or whatever. And those are adjectives that also reflect a portion of, like, my personality. But I'm also a multidimensional person. I can also be serious and also silly. And so I say that to say, when I was even posting those pictures, right, because I wanted to post a picture with me smiling my biggest smile, having joy, and I had to think about it. And I was like, oh, they're gonna think it's like silly or like, you know, whatever. As a director, whatever, like, you know, is this not like mature enough? Like, and I was just thinking to myself, like, no, forget that. I get to be silly and serious and all these different things. And I was just even thinking about, like, it's so heartbreaking sometimes to me that we police ourselves that much, with the knowledge also that other people are policing us. So I don't even want to, like, just put it on us, because it's not this foreign concept that we're just imagining in our head. People are policing me, and there are going to be some people who look at certain things that I say or do and be like, that's not professional, that's not mature, whatever. But what I'm coming to find out, because I don't want to misrepresent to y'all like I got it all together, but what I'm coming to find out is that I don't really give up.
Well, and I feel like in conversations with you, you've had people try to police you on both ends. If you're too serious, they're like, oh, monitor your facial expression.
Oh, what?
But if you're playful, oh.
I guess the question that comes from this is, like, do we get to be silly and sexy? Do we get to be a boss and sweet? And that's one of the things that I want to talk about, too, is, like, as Black women, when we add the category as, like, boss, leaders, as Black women, I don't often get people also mentioning adjectives as, like, sweet, nice. Has that been your experience? Do you kind of see in the public the connection of boss and nice together?
I think for sure. I think, again, when you think about the word boss and, you know, who was originally being placed in these positions back before women had the opportunity to be educated, to be employed on their own and not be basically their husband's property or their father's property, all leadership, all of these boss, you know, roles were given to men. And even once we've been able to break into this and access opportunities for ourselves, we're still kind of held within the confines of those men and how they present. So being stern, being aggressive, being having certain styles of communication and confrontation, that is how you show, that is how you show strength. That is how you show, that's how you demand and command respect. And I think that we don't value and appreciate the way women can be a boss in their own way, that we can define that for ourselves and be a boss in our own rights and still be effective and still be productive and still have respect amongst our peers. And I think that it's unfortunate that unless you basically, you know, reflect the way men behave, you aren't taken seriously. And I think that down to whether you're smiling, whether you have a light voice, you know, the type of, you know, not using a passive tone, like literally everything, your language. People even question women if, like, their voices go up at the end of a sentence, like, oh, are you asking a question? And I get all of that, but it's just also like, okay, just let people be. Like, why are you critiquing everything to the finest grain of sand, you know?
Yeah.
And I just think that there's just a lot of that there, and it's unfair because you're not letting women be who they want to be, and you're not allowing yourself to stretch what this boss role means, which is why, you know, we haven't made as much progress in, you know, fighting the wage gap between women, because we don't value all people's work in society.
What about you, Ashley? Do you think that we see the combination stated as much, like, this person is, this woman or him is a boss, and they also are nice?
No. I think that the understanding, well, first of all, Tracy, I think you hit the nail on the head about the understanding of, like, where that term boss comes from. Like, the original people who were running things, management, leaders in an organization, were white cis men, and their goal was to extract as much, quote unquote, productivity from people as they possibly could, and didn't see
the people who were working for them as humans, but they saw them as, you know, machines to just extract resources from. And so, so much of that understanding of what a boss is rooted in, like, capitalism and, like, exploitation. And so as a woman who has a, I feel like if I am leading and my leadership style is rooted in community, it's like mm-hmm. consensus. How can I build up the people that I'm working with or collaborating with so that they feel good bringing their ideas to the table,
right?
And that we feel respected and cared for. And I think that the capitalist existing workplace does not reward that, but that is still being a boss. Me being like, are you feeling okay today? You lost a loved one due to COVID, please take some time. Mm-hmm. And don't worry about the work, that's being a boss. Mm-hmm. That's caring for people. And we've just been taught that power is only aligned with exploitation, being cutthroat, being like, oh, I'm sorry, you're pregnant? Too bad for your promotion. Like, what if leadership looked like caring for people? Because I think about, when I think about, like, movement, when I think about, like, an Ella Baker or Byron Rustin, they didn't lead by being like, you know, driving people hard. They led by, you know, giving people support and care and trying to meet their needs. And so the way we've been taught what a boss looks like is not that, but I'm trying to aspire to be caring and sweet and gentle with folks. To be gentle doesn't mean that I'm letting people run over me either. To be gentle means like, you're a human being and maybe I'm an XYZ position in the hierarchy, but I'm not going to talk to you crazy because you're a human being. That doesn't make me more of a boss. And like, can I say, I hate grind culture on Instagram, that whole culture of, we all got the same hours of day and fiance. No, we don't. No, we don't. I'm a boss, I'm a leader, and I'm not Beyonce, and I don't have a staff. And that, you know, me resting and taking naps still makes me, I think, a boss, a leader. Yeah, maybe I wouldn't use the term boss, but like, that's what leadership can be.
The other, like, dichotomy or, like, two adjectives that I wanted to, like, bring up and is relation to women and specifically Black women is nasty classy.
Ooh.
Because I don't think that, and it made me so bad how they did poor little Chloe.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, oh, my goodness. Like, beforehand, there was this box that both Chloe and Haley were in where they were classy.
Mm-hmm.
They were classy. And all of a sudden, because she wants to show her body, or even not wanting to show her body, she wants to get on her social media and do whatever that is making her feel good. And she just happens to have a body that you want to sexualize. Then all of a sudden, now she's not classy anymore. And even I was thinking about like something like Meg Thee Stallion, even Cardi B to a degree, like, I've heard people automatically just, they don't get to be classy.
Wow.
They don't get to be classy because they're nasty. But also, you want your wife to be nasty. Behind closed doors, though. Or, like, you're cheating with a nasty person. Or the person you would say is nasty. So it's like, we don't get to be nasty, period, unless it's serving you, one. And two, we definitely don't get to be nasty and classy. And so when I say, like, nasty, I don't mean it with a negative connotation of nasty. I mean freaky, and I don't mean that with a negative connotation. Sexualize or sexualizing yourself. How about that? The ability to have agency over your own sexuality.
Right, okay. Come on.
How about that? So, yeah, so do you have, can you name a person, a Black woman, who exists in that space where they both get to be a fully realized, sexualized person and classy?
No, I think even Beyonce gets called out, and she's someone who's respected for being one of the hardest working women in her industry, in her profession, and still, because she wants to wear outfits that accentuate her curves and dance and move and, you know, do all of that. It's like, oh, she's still gyrating across stage. Mm-hmm.
Gyrating. Wow, gyrating.
Yeah, that's the word my mother used. That lets us know who you're hearing this from.
Yeah.
But, like, even Beyonce is being, you know, caught up for that. Even Michelle Obama, she just wanted to wear a sleeveless dress.
Yes.
And people said that that's not First Lady-like.
Yeah.
So it's nowhere you can really be free. And Honestly, when I think about people who want to put you in these boxes, one issue is their lousy ability to compartmentalize. A lot of people don't have the range. And because I stole it from my friend in money. let me be real. She's the first one I heard say that. But yeah, they want to put you in boxes because they don't understand layers. Mm-hmm. And because that's all them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I think there's anything. I can't name a famous woman that I can think of. I think for me, as someone who used to want to be Mrs. Huxtable, I used to want to lead into that, like, quote unquote, good girl narrative. And I think that there is room for that. The problem is when a person says, oh, I no longer can take you seriously. I can no longer treat you with respect when you don't perform a particular form of classy. And like classy, that term is probably rooted in, you know, class hierarchy and white supremacy and all things, but what we mean is like the good girl image.
Right.
Because you hear rappers all the time being like, oh, she was a good girl, or she didn't give it up. And it's just like, the woman who you asked to have sex with you, and she had sex with you, now she's no longer valuable, but you wanted to have sex.
That's what Boosie's saying. You know, because we listen to Boosie.
But also, that's rape culture, but we won't go there. I'm sorry.
That
got dark.
Sheesh, but tell the truth to the people. Okay.
Rape culture is when you teach girls that they need to play coy and pretend like they don't want sex so that they'll be safe. Rape culture teaches us that, like, we're supposed to pretend like sex is a bad thing, we don't want it. And if a woman says, I would like to have sex, she's no longer considered good or a good girl. And that's very dangerous.
Yeah. So aside from like the sexuality, like, conversation, I don't even think we get to be, like I was saying earlier, like, playful. I was just trying to think of a playful black woman that's out in space. I was trying to think of one personally in my life, and then I was trying to think of one that is out in the public sphere. And so I'll ask the question, are black women allowed to play? One. And are we allowed to be playful? And what do you, when I say are black women allowed to play, what comes into your mind as to that meaning?
In celebrity world, the first thing that came to my mind, who I think is trying to do playful by heart, is Lizzo. I feel like she's been, at least on her Instagram, doing like some of the like playful. And Regina Hall, funny enough.
Yes, Regina Hall.
Do you see her like 40th birthday thing? Or like, white women do those kind of things. Like a cute, like clever, like an Amy Poehler kind of like comedians. But black women don't, when you think of black women comedians, they are even serious.
Right.
Like, white women comedians get to be talking about everything under the sun, from the booger in the nose, and it's like funny and cute. But if a black person comes up and it's like, oh, if you stand up's gotta be a lot about like police brutality. It's like, dang. Like, but really think about it. That's why I really liked what Regina Hall did. It was just like silly and chill, and it wasn't like, you know, I'm so grateful to turn blah blah blah, which is a beautiful way to be, but like, we don't get the space to just be silly. Not always deep, maybe because we have so much to carry. But those are the, like, in celebrity world, those are the first two people that came to my mind, like Lizzo and Regina Hall.
Right. And even when you say Lizzo, they come from Lizzo's title. And so it's like, it's one question to ask, like, are black women playful? And it's another one to ask, are like, is that perceived well? Right? So, like, we gonna be what we gonna be. What we gonna be it. But is that perceived well by society? Like, does society okay that? You know, or do they allow that? Is a whole different question.
I feel like my playfulness was police since I was young, because I was always tall. And so, like, I always kind of took a presented as an adult woman. And so, like, I remember, like, even if I was skipping or, like, doing something that was childlike, just like, you're too big, like, you're too basically grown-looking to be out here acting like this. And I remember, like, 15, that, like, age, still just just have still a lot of childlike qualities that I felt like were drained out of me. Why are you skipping? Why are you jumping off the steps instead of walking down? Because I would still do stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it feeling like, you know, constantly being like checked for it. To the point I just don't do that anymore. And I'm very mindful of like my body and like be acting in a very mature way because of how I look. Because I was always perceived as older, given my body type and height. So I think that's the real thing. I would say that a woman who I see as playful is Issa, Issa Rae.
Yeah.
Like, I loved in her show when she would be like rapping in the mirror and like all that stuff like that. I thought that was, it was like refreshing to see. Once someone just being fully entertained by themselves.
Right.
Like, I can completely entertain myself. I really liked and enjoyed, so I'll go with Issa.
And even just, like, to piggyback off, like, one thing that you said with regard to, like, when you use the word childlike, right? And so, you know, you don't want to play because you don't want to be considered childlike, but we know that, like, the key to kind of even, like, I think this is scientific to a degree, like with regard to like growing old, is to have to remain youthful, right? And so it's like, no wonder why we heavy as fuck. No wonder why we heavy as fuck, because we don't get to play, we don't get to be youthful, but then you want us to be like, mm-hmm. And you just see older people who I like admire, who I would say has aged gracefully. They have a young heart. They have like a youthful spirit about them. And I'm just kind of like, how do we cultivate that if we're not allowed to be that? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. So
I'm gonna do a cartwheel, Mom.
Yeah. Go do a cartwheel. Yes. So we're gonna be youthful and we're gonna play. But no one, neither of you answered the question of like, when I said, like, are Black women allowed to play? What does play mean to you? What does that sentence even mean to you?
I think it just means just joy and laughter and really tapping into the things that do that, like, that brings you that. So for me, like, yeah, when I think about what that means, playing is usually, I don't know, and it's hard for me to think about it, and I think it probably has to do with a lot of, like, you know, what I've already shared, is, like, trying to kind of stop all elements of that to be more mature, to come off as more mature. So I am struggling to even paint a picture of what that would look like.
Right. And that's a word in itself. What do you think, Ashley?
I'm struggling, but I think play is to be able to have fun with something, to experiment, to be creative, to, like when I think about my nieces and how they play, it's like they try things, they pick up things, they get excited about things. So for my niece, when my big niece, when she figured out how to do the light switch, so it's the discovery. So play could be literally having makeup, and I sit and I like try different things. Like, this is a little bit of a goth look, this is that look, you know, playing around, or like, I'm gonna paint, I'm gonna make something. Play is to have levity and lightness and joy. I think that's what I understand it to be.
So playful and playfulness and like playing for me is closely attached to imagination. And I feel like Black women's imagination is often crushed. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have imagination and create in spite of, right? Shout out to all the Black women creatives out there. We appreciate you. And also acknowledge probably the work that you have to do to even get to your creativity. Because we're not allowed to play. We're not allowed to, like, even imagine things or be creative, like you're saying, like, just creative in our makeup. Like something as simple as that, right? I don't see too many Black women with pink hair. I don't see too many Black women trying different like lipsticks or makeup or like the light color things. I don't see piercings. Like we're not allowed to like be creative in that sense and like have that type of imagination. And that is like so like distressing to me because you just think about what we could be bringing to the space.
Okay.
We're just not allowed. Well, I'm going to take, you know, part of this conversation that I've been using unintentionally or like without mindfulness is like being allowed. Mm-hmm. Like, while there is a power structure and a power dynamic and a society that affords certain groups more power than the others, but I think we need to start looking at that word aloud.
Yeah.
Who do we need permission from?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, what are the spaces that we actually do need permission?
Right.
Because there are repercussions.
Right.
So I don't want, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And what are the spaces where we don't need permission from folks to be ourselves, to be our whole selves?
Also, I feel like I now can better answer your question. When both of you were talking, I think the reason why I struggled to come up with examples of play is because you both talked about things that you do for the sake of just seeking interest,
mm-hmm.
or seeing if something makes you happy without any product at the end, without any result or any mission to be accomplished,
mm-hmm.
that like something is being pursued as in the pursuit is the end in of itself,
right,
and is not some type of means to something,
mm-hmm.
and I think like, yeah, like so much of just living within its capitalist structure has, like, you know, broken apart your ability,
yes.
to even believe in that,
right.
and to tap into that.
Right.
So when I was hearing you talking, when Terry, you both talking about play, I was like, I really think that was my kind of gap.
When do you feel most comfortable playing, and with who, or doing what?
With my friends, Black friends mostly, not at work, and sometimes I do with my family, unfortunately, who I love and care for, but, like, the play is, like, you and I, we kiki,
mm-hmm.
and, like, and, yeah, I feel the most safety because I know that, like, I'll be cared for, and, like, I can be silly. You know, we have a little drink and I'm dancing in the mirror and I can look ridiculous and it's okay for me to look ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Like with my people who, and I thank God for that because I feel like it took years to get to a place like this. But like when I'm with my bestie and I'm just like, I'ma just do a little dance over here for no reason, just because that's when I feel like it's safest for me to do that. I want the world to know, not necessarily. Like if I am at the grocery store, I don't know that I can just be telling little jokes with the cashier the way that some people are. If there's space made for them to be humorous and fun, I don't know that that's always available to me in the same way as for other people.
So you said with your friends?
Yeah.
I definitely say with my friends the most too. I'm definitely playful with my family because I'm from a very funny family where all we do is just, you know, sing and dance and make fun and play guess who's who and like, you know, that's my session. So like everything is a big, it's just one big game. And it's just really playful. So I'm definitely playful with my family, but there's still limits to that. Like, you know, there's still limits to like, you know, topics of conversation and things like that. But yeah, like it's definitely one of those things where I feel like I am in rare form when I'm amongst my people. Like because you just get to be boundless and limitless and you just get to be free without, you know, your humor, your anything being policed. And I definitely think that that's real, but yeah.
I would say like my close friends, because even like
yeah.
we have to also realize that like we're being policed by a lot of different people.
Yeah.
Right. So I'll say like, because it's, you know, playfulness is attached to safety, and safety is attached to vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
I'm most able to be my, like, most vulnerable self when I'm around my close friends, because I know that they're judging me, but they don't care. And like, we just can be ourselves. But also, I think in romantic relationships, I think it's also when the times where I'm able to be most playful. When we talk about playfulness, we're also talking about lightness. You said something earlier, you connected it earlier. With Black women, like, I think in order, like, sometimes connected to being playful is the ability to be light. And you said something earlier where, and I think this was like a question that I was going to ask later on, but since you said I want to bring it up now, about, like, with all of our expectations, with all of the things that are asked from us from so early on, like from girlhood or, you know, from childhood, do you think actually Black women have the capacity to be light? And if so, to what degree?
We have the capacity, we have the ability. I think it just, for many of us, it feels inaccessible. Because if I am worried about my own personal financial situation, that's the financial situation of my loved ones, how I'm treated at my job, whether or not I'm progressing the way that I want to, the safety and well-being of my children, when I go out into the world, I'm seeing Black people getting exploited. You know, I know that, like, if I'm applying for a home loan, am I getting treated the same way that a white woman would get treated? When I'm shopping in the mall, like, are you asking me if I need help because you actually want to help me? Or are you asking if I need help because you're trying to see if I'm stealing? Like, the constant, and I mean, there's research and scholarship around this, but there's a constant, like, wheels turning in our head, and it makes it hard for us to be light because I am actually carrying things, right? Like, I'm carrying a lot, and so it makes it hard unless you have spaces to lay those things down. Which is why I appreciate friendship so much, because often my friendships are a place where there's room for me to lay a few of those things down. Like, I can put my load down so I get to be lighter. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, through my faith, I get to, like, lay some of my load down. It can be if other people start to do some of the lifting with us.
Say it again.
We can be light if other people start to do some of the lifting with us.
Right. Oh, that just because we can be light if y'all have y'all jobs. What about you?
I think I resonate so much with a lot of what Ashley was saying about being light when you're so overburdened and you have so many things to work about, to worry about. And especially when we are kind of trying to break away from, at least I know I am, this idea of like the strong Black woman who is, you know, just carrying the torch for herself and her community and her family and her job and everything, like this worker bee. But like so much of the way we are viewed and the way we kind of show up to prove ourselves, because oftentimes it's in that show and proof stage in life that we're taking on so much that there's no room to be light because you're literally taking on the weight of a lot of things. And I think that the more we just start to just normalize like self-care and experience luxury in whatever ways that means, as you were saying earlier, saying no to things, the more we can just normalize the fact that, like, we are people too, and, like, we're not the world's saviors, you know, the better we'll be able to tap into that. And I do agree that it's not like we don't have the capacity to do it. It's just unfortunate because for a lot of people in the world, our values, we are only valued for the work we and the service we are giving to others. But how can you be light in that space when literally you're agreeing to be the bag lady?
I was literally, we gotta go back to this. Can you say it again?
How can you be light when you're forced to agree to be the bag lady?
Well, literally, that was going to piggyback off that. We had talked about in our one of our earlier conversations about Black women as mules. And I've never seen a light mule. Woo! We're carrying all your things. Like, We are the worker bee. We are the mules of our communities, and not only of our communities, of this entire society. And it's not just Black women in that specific, like, we're talking specific to Black women, but women, like, and femme folks are, like, the mules of society. And then you want us also to be, like, I've never seen a light mule. They're heavy, just so you know. But, yeah, and watching movies, I remember one time we were like, what are we watching today? You know, in a panorama. So we in the house, we're watching TV. Mm-hmm. And I just remember I was watching, I don't know what I was watching, but it was heavy. I've just been watching like a lot of heavy things. Like the things that are getting like acclaimed things mm-hmm. are all heavy. You know, I'm trying to watch some Black stuff. So
something without a trigger warning.
Yeah, without. Can we get that? Huh. So I want to call, so I hit up my homegirl. I'm like, so what you watching out here? And then she said something with like a little fire. What was it?
Firefly Lane.
Like, girl, it's life, right? And then we were trying to think of what is a Black movie show that is cast mostly, predominantly Black women or femmes, is the predominant cast. That is life. That the storyline is life. Name one.
I know Sylvie's Love was supposed to be talked about as this light romantic love story, but like even with that it was heavy because they were broken up and the male lead was having a hard time showing up in relationship with her because he had a hard time finding a job as a Black man living in a certain era and a jazz musician. And feeling like his manhood was in question, and you know, this woman fighting to prove that that the love should be enough. That even in that light movie, there were all of these things about their life being exacerbated by their Blackness, which is a reality. Mm-hmm. And I was like, even with that, I'm just like, that's not like exactly light. So it's hard
even
for me
to agree to that. Like, I love Silly Love, and also a major premise in the movie was that she was trying to actualize herself as a full woman and yeah. also be a wife. And, like, that tension that was there. So I didn't quite find that to be light. And then those pregnancy things that were going on, I didn't quite find it to be light. When I'm seeing, like, light, I'm seeing, like, quirky little, mm-hmm. silly little, you know.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Girls Trip.
Girls Trip was fun.
And that was great.
Yeah.
That was so great.
Yeah. Somebody was getting a divorce, though, right?
See, but the thing is, I'm okay with that because I feel like when you watch movies with predominantly white cast, where there's like, I haven't seen Thelma in movies in years, so I don't know if that's a good example, but like, there might be like a catalyst event.
Yeah.
But that catalyst event of a divorce is something that happens to everybody.
Yeah. You know?
I just get so sick and tired of the stories where we have to carry, like, it's not like we just have a normal thing. You know, those the adventure movies, like, bachelor party type movie.
Hangover,
that one. Like, Black people don't get to do movies like that. Or it's always like Kevin Hart, you know, shade, and it's just like corny.
And I'm specifically talking about Black women fans.
The only thing I can think of on TV, I thought of a TV show, I still can't think of a movie where it's just like light and chill, kind of like a Napoleon Dynamite, like a Black Napoleon Dynamite. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. The only thing I can think of is a TV show that I've been enjoying on Netflix is Half and Half, because their storyline is mm-hmm. generally very light. Mm-hmm. It's very rarely carrying on the weight of anything. The relationship, the storyline is about their relationship, them reconciling, and you can see that same show with a white cast. The writing is actually very good.
It was.
And it was very Black.
Yeah. Why do you think there's so few and far between? I think initially, that was also a thing that we liked about Insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, well, why is it that the storylines with, like, Black women and femmes as, like, light are so few and far between? Why do you think that?
One, because people don't believe it.
Mm. I mean, that's how, like, Cosby was critiqued, that they thought it was too fairy tale of an experience. And a lot of people, like, particularly, like, working class Black people whose realities were much different from that, felt like they couldn't relate. Mm-hmm. While some people was like, oh, like, this is good, this is aspirational, this is motivational. But a lot of people felt like that world is so far removed from reality.
Yeah.
It's so real to me. And I do think that there's this big fear of being too unrelatable to a large majority of, you know, you know, of people, because how many people are tapping into upper middle class realities? Like the way.
Oh, but you just tapped into some, because you only upper middle class black folks get to be like.
They don't be that way. But I'm saying, like, reality, they're the only ones that can access whiteness.
First of all, I will say this as someone who grew up around some upper class, middle class black people, they're not always like, there's other dynamics coming
right
into play. I think I talked about this in the previous episode, but like, it's weight to perform the good Negro.
Mm-hmm.
It's weight to, it's not the same, I think, as your whole, as when you have class privilege, it does negate some of the other harms, but
mm-hmm.
It's weight to be the only in a white space.
So what I was saying was not necessarily that when you are at a certain class that you automatically get lightness,
right,
but just saying that lightness is disclosed. At least you have access.
You're getting closer to it.
You're closer to it. You can have access.
Well, if we're carrying bowling balls, and I got 6 bowling balls, and 2 of them are about my class, right, or
right
about money, if you're upper middle class, and like the way black people experience middle class is not the way white people experience middle class,
mm-hmm.
we're often middle class by income and not by wealth. But if I get to take 1 bowling ball off,
mm-hmm.
I am a little lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Even, and maybe other black people, based on their gender presentation, their
mm-hmm.
class, whatever, they're still holding all 6 bowling balls. I mean, I got 4. I can,
mm-hmm.
you know, I got 2 legs, 2 arms, like, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah, the Cosbys were able to do this thing where they, you know, they brought in some race stuff, but like, they were able to just kind of be like, the jokes were about the kids' silliness. The jokes weren't about serious stuff all the time. The jokes were literally about like, Olivia putting tissue in her shoes and pretending to be taller. Like, that was rare.
Living Single was kind of light too. This is the last question. I really enjoyed having both of y'all here. I think this has been a really fruitful conversation. What is a playful thing that you wish you did more of and that you're going to try to activate in your life?
I think I'm trying to be more playful with my clothing and like how I present in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like even like wearing my little hat just because I need a haircut, but I also just like trying things that I think are just fun for me in terms of fashion and clothing. And I try not to get too into like the materialistic part of it and the, we were talking about textile week earlier, so I won't overthink it, but like, just trying things, and I think growing up there was, you got the message like, oh, that's a white girl outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Certain fun, cool, fun things, and I know I'm of a certain age, so it's maybe not as okay for me to do it, but like, the things that people said, oh, only white girls can do that, I'm like, maybe I'll try it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've always been like playful in my clothing, so like when you brought that up to me, I was like, oh, that is a way that I actually do exercise playfulness and just versatility. But I also noticed that like I've always loved different hair colors, and I was like, oh, some little blonde highlights, but that's always been acceptable to do that. But like now I want to dye my hair like this reddish orange color.
Ooh.
I want a little stub nose piercing.
Yes.
I want all of these things that before I just wouldn't do because I was just, oh, like, you know, it'll be deemed as unprofessional. And now I'm like entering my who gonna check me stage in life. And so yeah, like that's what I'm looking forward to, just doing all of the things that I've always been interested in and always wanted to do and always allowed self-talk based on other people's views to stop me. So,
and I'll answer it, and you reminded me of it when you were saying how your body's always been policed. I think that I'm going to try and be more playful in my body, in my activity. So if I want to get up and dance with me at the river, I'm going to get up and dance. If I want to do a cartwheel, I'm going to do a cartwheel. Like, however I want to loose or free my body, I'm going to do that. Because I'm determined to not let this black crack, okay? I'm determined, and even aside from like just the physical thing, I'm determined to be useful in my spirit. I want to be light, and I do think that black women have the capability of being light. You just got to take off some of y'all bags.
Mm.
And that's on period.
you for listening to Gay After 30. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. And if you did, please feel free to subscribe and to like both on Spotify, on Anchor, on Apple Podcasts. And also you can find us on Instagram at GayAfter30, the number 30. And you can also find us at www.gayafter30.com.